Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, who says, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." Amen. There are very few things in this world that are guaranteed. Isn't that, wouldn't you agree with that? It would be nice to say that I guarantee you that the Cleveland Browns are going to win the Super Bowl this year. How about, the Cleveland Indians? There's so few guarantees, or that your next car is going to last you 30 years. There's so many things that we it would be great to have those guarantees, but there are so few things in this world that are reliable, that we can count in day in and day out. Ben Franklin said that there are two things that are guaranteed, two things that are certain, all right? Nothing in this world can be certain but what? Death and taxes. Oh, all right. Thanks, Ben Franklin. All right. I like what Jesus says. He says that there are two things that are guaranteed. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but in Christ, you will have peace. Guaranteed. It's interesting that when Jesus says in this passage, he doesn't say, you might have trouble. What does he say? He says, you will have trouble. Sometimes when we think about following Jesus, we think of all the joys and all the things that we gain from following Jesus. As Isaac was talking about, the hope that he gives us, the light that he guides us. But Jesus says that there is something about who he is, about the message that he brings, the gospel that he shares, that when it rubs against this world, it often leads to trouble. And so as we think about the trouble that we face in this world, we cling to the peace that Jesus offers all who trust and believe in him. Because when you think about the troubles of this world, the reality is that we live in a fallen, a broken world. The things of this world, they break down. Your coffee maker may be good one day, and the next day, it won't brew a cup. And you go, right? I need that coffee. Or my wife says, you need that coffee. Things break down in this life. The things that used to last many, many years. Now I think when people make a dishwasher or a laundry machine, it seems like it works for about 10 years, and then they have parts that have like a 10-year life expectancy, so it breaks down. So what do you have to do? Buy a new one. In this world, in this fallen world, there's also suffering. Suffering that comes from nature, from storms, from tornadoes, from hurricanes. Suffering that comes from fires, that comes from things that are beyond our control. But these things affect our lives. We also deal with emotional suffering as we deal with broken relationships. We deal with people who hurt people. And even when our loved ones, we try to protect them, we try to keep them safe, we try to keep them away from suffering, suffering still breaks into our lives. Our loved ones get sick. Our loved ones are hurt by others. Our loved ones even die. In this world, we have trouble, and so much of that is from the outside of us. But there's also trouble that we get that comes from the inside of us. So many things that we do, we're to blame the trouble that we face, that whenever we disobey God's law, there's always consequences. God has given us commands to follow, instructions to say, if you keep my commands, you will be blessed. If you follow my instructions, there will be, no sin or consequences that affect you and affect others. But all too often, we ignore God's commands. We think we've got a better way. We think that there are things in our lives that maybe God didn't have that right. Or we pursue the things of our own heart. And we pursue the things of this world. It leaves us broken. It leaves us hurting. It leaves us empty. And so the world is broken. That's on the outside of us, but on the inside of us, we too are broken by the effects of sin in our lives and in this world. Think even more than that, in this world in which we live, that there is a battle going on. When you look at this picture, who do you think is going to win? Right? It makes no sense. It looks like the giant is going to defeat this little boy, this young man. And so often in this world, it looks like we are facing giants. But if you recall the account of David and Goliath, Goliath tried to fit himself with another man's armor, with Saul's armor, and it didn't work. And David said, I have killed a bear, I have killed a lion. God has been with me in those things. He'll be with me even as I face this giant. Now all the rest of Israel, for 40 days, Goliath had come out and taunted the Israelites and had taunted their God. And no one was brave enough to come forward because they were afraid. Afraid of the giant that they faced. And yet, what made David different? Who was his confidence in? In himself? It was in the Lord. He said, the Lord will provide for me. The Lord will defeat this giant. The Lord will take my weakness and turn it into his strength. And so Goliath was defeated at the hands of David. But David didn't accomplish that. The Lord accomplished that through David. And so I think part of what Jesus wants us to know is that when we face this broken world, when we face our broken lives, it seems like this giant that is too big for us. But Jesus says, let me defeat your giants. Jesus says, I have overcome this world. I have defeated sin. I have defeated death. I have defeated the powers of this devil. Act in my confidence. There is no giant in this world that too big for Jesus to tackle. And so he calls us to stand firm in the faith, to stand firm in the confidence that Jesus has overcome this world, that Jesus, even though there is trouble in this world, that Jesus has defeated it. I think one of the greatest, one of the toughest things about following Jesus is that when we stand firm in our faith, when we proclaim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the world says, what do you mean? That can't be. There's many paths to God. There are many truths. What do you mean there's only one way, truth, and the life? Jesus Christ. And the world pushes back. And sometimes just by being a Christian, it brings its own set of troubles. You think about what we take a stand as Christians, that life, all of life is precious. Life begins at conception. That marriage is between one man and one woman. That sex is preserved within the rites of marriage. Where we should flee from all sexual immorality. The world pushes against that and says, what do you mean? What do you mean? This is just the way life is. And they even applaud those who commit what we would say is evil. Some days it's really hard to be a Christian because we're surrounded by people who aren't Christians. And yet our challenge is to stand firm in our faith, to put on not our own armor, but the armor of the Spirit, the armor of God, that we may take a stand against the troubles of this world.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody. Nobody knows my sorrow.
Do you ever feel that way? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrows. That's Louis Armstrong, and I was going to sing it for you, but I thought, no, I'm going to let him do it for you, all right? Sometimes we feel that in our lives, just nobody knows. Nobody knows what we've gone through. Nobody knows what we're enduring. Nobody knows our sorrows, our troubles. Nobody knows. But the fact that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, into this flesh, Jesus became one of us. He wrapped himself as a human being, God, in the flesh, so that he might understand what it means to be a human, to be a part of this broken world, not to be broken, but to come and save us from the brokenness. And Jesus accomplished this through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we have this comfort. We have this high priest that we can approach with confidence, knowing that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. And so Paul is able to write in 2 Corinthians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." I think this is so important for us. Sometimes when we think of ourselves, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. God knows, and he comforts us right where we're at. Louis Armstrong goes on to sing, he says this.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus.
Who knows our troubles? Jesus. Jesus knows. You're not alone. Jesus knows our troubles, our tribulations, our hardships, our brokenness, and he still loves us. Jesus came into this world, and let's read this verse together. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And so Jesus exchanges our trouble with what? Peace. Earlier on in this dialogue, he says this. Let's read this together. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, Jesus is saying these words on that night that he's being betrayed, the night that his disciples are going to run away because they're afraid. But he says, "When you come to me, you will have peace." Don't let the troubles of this world take away the peace that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again for you. Jesus gives you this peace that passes all understanding as you trust in him. As you trust that Jesus has overcome this world, that he has paid for your sins, that he offers you healing and wholeness, that he promises you not only in this world, but in the world to come, peace. I like when in the song, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, nobody knows my sorrows." What's the last line? "Glory, hallelujah." That even in the troubles, Jesus is with us, and so we can praise God in our troubles as we look forward to our day with Jesus in heaven. Two last thoughts. One of the things I think that keeps us from the peace is that sometimes we want to know and understand everything. Bill Johnson, the pastor at Bethel Church, says if you want to have peace that passes understanding, you have to give up your right to understand everything. Because if you hold on to, I gotta know, it eats away at you. give it to the Lord, to lay it at the foot of the cross. Because when we have troubles, our reality is, in Christ, you have peace. And now may this peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts and minds, even as you trust in him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, allow us to take heart. Fill us with your Spirit that even when troubles come, we may trust in you. Fill us with faith, with confidence, with peace, that as we live for you, we know that you have overcome this world. May we take heart. May we be of good courage. May we trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. At this time, we give our gifts to the Lord as our offering is gathered. Also, at the end of each pew is a burgundy friendship pad. If you could take that and pass that down, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.